Chapter 12. Leah and I spent the next hour or so trying to clean up the bodies of the OLG members. The blonde woman gobbled up each of the red-robed corpses, one by one, until there was nothing left of them but a few dark stains of blood on the floor and the walls. Her stomach capacity was insane, but I didn't think that was a polite thing to ask about. Leah's dorm had an uncarpeted floor, so I was actually able to wipe up most of the viscera with a couple of her bath towels. It took a shit ton of towels and a whole lot of elbow grease, but before long, the stains had been reduced to a few faded red blotches.
They're definitely not giving me my security deposit back.
Leah sighed as she looked between the blood stains and the broken door. Probably not, but at least it looks livable again.
Other than the broken door. But that's just a quick call to maintenance, and I'm sure they'll fix it.
I'd love to hear the story you're going to tell them. I don't think our rough sex or your LARPing group will work for this one.
Easy.
Leah shrugged.
I'm just going to tell them some wasted frat boys were going down the hall jumping into people's doors. Maybe they jumped a little too hard against mine, or maybe it was on its way out anyways. Either way, it broke off the hinges and scared the shit out of me.
Frat boys. I raised an eyebrow. Throwing themselves randomly into doors.
Have you ever met those guys? They swallow goldfish and make their pledges walk around in a circle holding each other's dicks like a dog leash. Drunkenly walking into doors is like one of the tamer things they'd do.
If you say so. All I know is that douche Toby is on my shit list.
Ugh, join the club. He's a total ginger-bearded bitch.
I couldn't help but laugh at her insult. But then I tried to take things in a more serious direction. So, the bodies are cleaned up, and that weird-ass sword is lying on your dresser. Now, are you going to tell me what's with the tongue and the jaw and you having Spider-Man powers and all that? Leah sat down on top of her bed and then patted the spot next to her. So I walked over, plopped my ass down, and then put my arm around her tender shoulders.
Like I said before, Carter, I'm a polywarm. Our fingers and toes have these special microscopic suction cups that let us stick to things, and we can control our tongues like a mind-controlled whip.
Also the unhinging jaw. I reminded her with a smirk.
Also the unhinging jaw.
She nodded.
That's what allows us to eat large animals and sustain ourselves for long periods of time. Did you see how many of those guys I just ate? I won't have to eat again for, like, 2 weeks.
Well, since she brought it up, what I want to know is how you fit all that in there, I said as I patted her belly jokingly. You look pretty damn skinny for a woman who just devoured multiple full-sized humans.
That's the beauty of our digestive systems.
Leah explained with a broad grin, and her blue eyes twinkled with delight as she started to ramble.
The muscles in our esophagus are so powerful, they literally crush anything we eat down into a small, compact size. Think of it like an organic trash compactor. Our stomach acid is particularly powerful, too, so it breaks down anything we eat in a matter of seconds. My biology is actually extremely fascinating, but unfortunately, I haven't really been able to talk to anyone about it for obvious reasons.
Damn. Does that mean you can, like, spit acid?
I wish.
Leah said, as her lips twitched into a smile.
Though that wouldn't have been good for any of my nights out with the girls. I'd have had to replace the dorm toilets many, many times.
Speaking of the girls, do Becca and Valerie know about this?
No.
Leah said, as her blue eyes grew dead serious.
Nobody knows about this. Other than you. And all my siblings, but I haven't seen them in years.
Your siblings? I raised an eyebrow. There are more of your kind out there.
Female polywarms can have up to 20 babies per pregnancy. I believe my mother had 15, and 10 of us survived into adulthood.
I gulped at the macabre implications of her words. What happened to the other 5?
The circle of life, Carter?
Leah shrugged.
They were eaten when they were just tiny little things.
What the fuck hunts a polywarm? I asked as my jaw fell agape.
Frogs? Birds, raccoons, bears, pretty much anything that's carnivorous. You must understand, when we're born, we're only the size of a baseball. Sure, once we hit puberty, we basically grow at the same rate as a human being, but during those first few months of our lives, we're very vulnerable.
Wait, I shook my head. Where exactly are polyworms born? Judging by all this danger, I'm assuming you didn't grow up in a little cookie-cutter house in the middle of the burbs.
Not even close. We're born in bodies of water, and then once we've matured, we go off on our own.
Damn. How the fuck did you even survive? And how did you assimilate to human society? You seem like a pretty regular woman to me, minus the deadly tongue and the unhinging jaw, of course.
That's the kicker,
Leah said with a frown.
Our mothers abandon us right after she lays her eggs, so we're all left to pave our own paths in life. We mature relatively fast, cognitively, which is how I have vague memories of my polyworm life and why I was able to pick up human speech so fast. As far as I know, though, I'm the only one of my siblings who went off to become a member of human society. The other nine are all out there somewhere in the waters of the Midwest, acting like uncivilized swamp people, if they haven't been hunted down and killed already.
I'm sorry for asking a million questions, but what made you different from your siblings? Why didn't you go all feral?
My human parents.
Leah smiled warmly.
They found me in the woods when I was just a young girl. They thought I was lost, so they tried to take me to the police and put out a missing persons report. But when nobody could find any records of my biological parents, they decided to adopt me as their own. They raised me into the woman I am today, and I couldn't be more grateful for everything they've done for me.
Wow, I said, as I leaned my head on Leah's head. And look at you now, one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Ugh, come on, Carter. You've already gotten into my pants. There's no need for mindless flattery.
I'm telling you the truth. You're a bright young woman.
Ugh, tell that to Dr. Jackson,
Leah said, as she rubbed my arm.
That C I got in human anatomy still haunts me to this day.
To be fair, you're not human. Knowing the human body isn't exactly something that's valuable to you.
I'm a biology major, Carter. That's kind of fundamental to any job I want to get in the future. But enough about me. What's your deal? When did you figure out you could turn into a giant killer kitty cat?
I decided to come clean and tell Leah everything. I told her about the day I was kidnapped and found out I could transform for the first time. I told her about how I'd met Janine and Ada, and the real story about how I came into possession of Cincy's jewel. And even all the lore Janine had told me about Bast, Khonsu, and the OLG. Then I cleared the air about Orglan. Leah had been listening with a smile and curious eyes the entire time, but when I started to talk about this guy, her face twisted into a frown. What's the matter? I promise we wanted to help you with your project. We weren't just using you or anything like that.
I know you wouldn't do that.
Leah shook her head.
It's just Orglan. I don't remember much from my childhood before my parents took me in, but I do remember him.
You've met him before? Then why did you act so surprised to learn your specimen was a muck dweller?
Well, I may have been exaggerating my excitement a little, given my secret, but I've actually never seen a muck dweller before in person, so not all of my enthusiasm was a lie. Any evidence of a new species is worth studying, even if you already know they're real. But no, I've never actually met Orglan before. I just know of the horrific way he treats his subordinates.
So, he's a terrible boss. I snickered, but then I instantly stopped when I noticed Leah wasn't as amused.
He's a monster, Carter.
Leah frowned.
And I don't mean that just figuratively. He's the reason the polyworm race is next to extinct now.
A big, bad, paranormal creature is an asshole. I never would have guessed.
From everything I've studied and all the stories I've heard, Orglan is the king of the water around these parts. He spent the last few centuries trying to keep it that way, too, by wiping out any other species of aquatic creature that might pose any threat to him.
Including polyworms.
Especially polyworms. One website I found allegedly was exclusive to people who claimed to be polyworms, though you always have to take that stuff with a grain of salt.
Yeah, on the internet you could be talking to literally anybody.
Well, in many of the forums, users talked about how my species was once as bountiful in North America as squirrels or garter snakes, until Orglan and others like him decided to wipe us out completely. That's why I got into biology in the first place, Carter.
To find Orglan.
To find others like myself.
Leah shook her head.
Other non-human creatures who have been oppressed, mistreated, and murdered by assholes like Orglan.
Look no further, I said, as I gestured to myself. As you just saw, I've got a bunch of people who are trying to murder me, and those were just the members of the OLG. According to Ada, all the major paranormal creatures in this part of the United States are going to try at some point, too.
Then I am in good company.
Leah smiled as she looked up at me with her piercing blue eyes.
When I found that specimen, I'd hoped it would lead me to another creature like myself. Little did I know I was already in the presence of one.
Three, actually. Janine's a changeling, and Ada's a succubus, remember?
Everybody knows that about Ada, though.
Leah winked.
So it doesn't count.
Shit. Am I the only one who didn't know she was a succubus before I met her?
Probably. I always thought it was kind of an open secret around these parts.
Come on now. If everybody knew she was a sex demon, wouldn't it be a big deal? Like, confirmation that demons are real would be all over the news and all that.
What respected news organization would run that story?
Leah chuckled as she held her hands up in front of her.
In other news, a local Cincinnati nightclub owner is a paranormal demon known as a succubus, more at 11. It sounds like something straight out of the National Enquirer.
Okay, fine. But that's a fair point. But still, we've got some bigger fish to fry. Is that offensive to say?
I'm a bit like a paranormal human amphibian.
Leah said with a raised eyebrow.
So, no, not really.
Either way, we've got some major problems. Orglan's here in Cincy, and he's gunning for my head. And then there's the fact the OLG knows you're with me now, which means you're not safe here.
I think I did a pretty good job taking care of myself.
Leah scoffed as she nodded to the bloodstains on the floor.
If more come back, I can do it again.
That's the thing, though. I don't know how many more there are. They're fighting a war of attrition, and if you're on your own, you'll eventually be overwhelmed.
What do you suggest, then? My parents are up in Grand Rapids, so it's not like I can just go live at home while I'm finishing my degree.
You don't have to go home, and you don't have to leave school. I know this is kind of weird to say, but you can stay with Ada, Janine, and I. There's living quarters above her nightclub.
How many rooms are there?
Just one right now, but I'm working on getting more.
How the hell are you going to get any sleep? The lounge is open until like 4 in the morning.
Sleep is overrated. I winked. But seriously, I'm going to have them soundproof the upstairs, like the music studio type of soundproofing.
I don't know.
Leah sighed as she wrapped her arms around herself.
What am I going to tell my friends? Yeah, guys, you know the hot guy we met a few weeks ago at the bar? Well, I'm moving in with him and his two other sexy girlfriends. That would require a lot of explaining.
Could you stay with one of them? It would at least get you into a different dorm.
It'd also put them in harm's way.
Leah shook her head.
I can't do that to them. As strange as it may appear to an outside party, I think staying with you is the best option. At least until we can get rid of Orglan in the OLG.
Janine still commutes to UC. You two can carpool to class and talk about all sorts of cool paranormal stuff while you're driving. Actually, I'm sure Janine will have a million questions once you tell her about your species.
Ugh, if she doesn't already know.
I don't think she does. She wasn't 100% sure about the Muck Dweller, so maybe she's not familiar with polyworms either.
I suppose we'll find out.
The blonde woman said. And then she leaned her head against my shoulder again.
You know, it's actually kind of a relief. I've been carrying this secret with me my entire life, you know? Not even my parents know I'm a paranormal creature.
They don't?
Nope. They just think I was a child abandoned in the woods. And that my gills are scars of my abusive biological parents. It's a terrible, strange situation, but it makes more sense than our daughter's a frog woman, for sure. I've never told them because, well, I don't know if they'd even believe me, or if they'd want me anymore.
I'll always believe you and want you around, Leah, I whispered as I stroked her blonde hair. You have my promise as one endangered species to another.
You have no idea how happy I am to hear that,
the polyworm said with a happy sigh.
Now, we need to get out of here before more of these weird men in red show up.
You can say that again, I said as I stood up. If you're staying with us, you'll probably need to pack some essentials. You do that, and I'll go downstairs to keep a lookout for more OLG members.
Sounds like a plan.
Leah nodded.
I won't be long.
I gave Leah a thumbs up before I headed to her door. I carefully pulled it open, and it just about fell away from the frame. I caught it, though, and then quickly slipped out into the hallway and down to the elevator. I pressed the call button, and the door opened with a loud ding. So I jumped inside, hit the button for the main floor, and rode the rickety thing down. When the doors opened up and I stepped into the lobby, I instantly heard a dreaded voice again. Hey, asshole! Toby growled from across the lobby. I looked over to see the red-bearded man now had a piece of cotton and a bandage over his nose, and a gnarly bruise ran up its bridge. Toby was surrounded by a bunch of other guys in various frat boy wear, from chino shorts to polo shirts to sandals and even a few shirts with their fraternity's logo. When they saw me, it was like a bunch of fucking piranhas in a feeding frenzy, and they marched over to my position. I really didn't have time for this. Seriously, dude? I asked as I rolled my eyes. I already broke your nose, and now you're coming back for more? I said you'd pay for that, Hatfield, and we've already got Aiden's word that he won't say jack shit about what's about to happen. You threatened him, didn't you? I raised an eyebrow. Dude's just trying to do his job and get a little extra money to pay his student loans, and you douche canoes had to make his life a living hell. You really are a piece of shit. Shut the fuck up, bro! I don't know why you're so calm right now, pussy, because we're gonna kick the shit out of you. Good lord. I'd literally just killed a dozen magic dagger-wielding cultists, and these guys thought they stood a chance? What do you think happens now? I narrowed my eyes at Toby. Seriously, are you just gonna start a big fight right here, in the lobby of a dorm? A fight ain't the right word, another one of the frat boys said, as he cracked his knuckles. We're about to have a major beatdown right now, courtesy of Phi Delta Gamma. Hoo! You idiots never learn, do you? I really didn't want to deal with these fuckers right now, but apparently Toby didn't learn his lesson the first time. So it looked like Professor Hatfield was going to have to divvy out another lesson in ass-kicking 101. All of the frat boys bum-rushed me, and I heard the sounds of gasps throughout the lobby as the idiots began to pummel me with their fists. Of course, with my enhanced strength and stamina, every punch felt like it had been thrown by a toddler. I let them have their fun for a second or two, but then I heard their hearts start to race when they saw I wasn't going down. It was on. I reached up, caught one of the frat boy's punches with my hand, and stopped it dead in its tracks. His eyes went wide with terror as I twisted his arm, and he screamed as I pulled it back behind him and held him in front of me like a human shield. Then I spun around and pushed the bastard into two more of my attackers, and all three of them crashed to the ground violently. I blocked another incoming punch with my arm and then tossed up my foot. I kicked one of the frat boys in the stomach, and he yelped with pain as he flew back about 6 feet. I instinctively bent my right arm at the elbow and then thrust it backward, and there was a fleshy thud as it struck another frat boy in the face.
No, oh, my nose!
He said through a nasally wail. I turned back to Toby, who now only had two other frat boys to back him up. Their eyes narrowed, and then they all lunged forward and grabbed me. Despite their best efforts, I didn't budge.
The fuck? One of them gasped. It's like he's a fucking statue, Toby! Just hold him still,
Toby said, as he hauled back his fist.
One punch is all I need!
That was when I decided I was done playing around. I raised my arms up from my side, and as I did so, I threw the two remaining frat boys off me and to the ground. Then I sidestepped Toby's blow, grabbed his arm, spun him around, and tossed him straight into a nearby coffee table. The wooden piece of furniture shattered as his body weight landed on it, and the douchebag simply laid there as he groaned and held his side. I told you, I said with a shrug. You're not... My heart leapt into my throat when I looked up. A couple of the students in the lobby had been recording the whole fight.
Oh, shit.
Thank God I hadn't decided to Hulk out on them or anything. The elevator dinged, and then Leah stepped out through the open doors. She had a black and blue duffel bag slung over her shoulder and a smile on her face. But it quickly faded as she looked around the lobby.
What happened?
We need to get out of here, I said, as I motioned for her to follow. I'm sure campus police will be here any second.
Is that... Toby?
Leah asked as she walked up to me. Sure is, I said, and then I put my arm around Leah and hustled her out. We can talk about this on the way. People continued to murmur and whisper as Leah and I exited Dabney Hall. We got through the glass doors and power walked across the courtyard, though my head was on a swivel the entire time. There had been more OLG cultists out here before, and I was worried they were still watching us.
What exactly happened back there?
Leah asked with an awkward chuckle.
Did those frat boys try to jump you or something?
That's exactly what happened, I said as my eyes darted back and forth. So I showed them it wasn't exactly wise to pick a fight with a werepanther.
You're serious? I was totally kidding.
Dead serious. For whatever reason, Toby fucking hates me and he really knows how to get under my skin.
Probably because he feels threatened by you. He senses you out alpha him and he doesn't like that.
Well, if that's the case, he's not doing too hot of a job at keeping his alpha role. Janine embarrassed him a few weeks ago and I've beaten his ass twice today.
You'd better watch it,
Leah said with a sly grin.
Or else one of these times you may end up using him as a chew toy.
Panthers don't use chew toys, I reminded the beautiful woman. And really, he's not even a threat, just annoying as fuck.
Well, I suppose you'll just have to keep putting him in his place then.
Leah shrugged. We continued to walk cautiously until, finally, we arrived at the parking lot where I'd parked the Hummer. It wasn't hard to spot my vehicle, since it was pretty much a giant-ass yellow tank, but thankfully there were no more OLG bastards in sight. That would be me, I said, as I pointed my fob at the vehicle and clicked it twice to unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Leah said with a smirk.
I never would have pictured you as a Hummer guy.
It's not my car. Well, I mean, it technically is. Div's security detail had an entire fleet of these things, and I'm still trying to figure out what to do with them.
Sell them and make a profit?
I'm more than set for money, I said with a shrug. Besides, how suspicious does it look to try and sell an entire fleet of Hummers, especially when none of them are legally in your name?
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that. Ooh, who knows? Maybe someday you'll have your own security detail and you'll want them all to have matching yellow trucks.
Doubtful, I said, as I opened the door and hoisted myself up inside the driver's seat. Even though my head of security keeps saying we need to hire more people. Leah tossed her bag in the back seat of the Hummer and hopped up into the passenger seat. We both buckled up, and then I inserted the key, twisted it, and listened to the engine roar to life.
I wouldn't have thought you'd need a security detail,
Leah noted, as we backed out of the parking space.
On account of you being a killer werepanther and all that?
It's more for the lounge than it is for me. I can't be there all the time to keep things in order, so I've got Tony and Paul to do that for me. And hopefully I'll have some more employees here soon, after the remodeling is done.
I can't wait to see what you will do with the place,
Leah said, as we headed out from campus. We passed a few campus security vehicles headed toward Dabney Hall, but we were now far enough away that we avoided their suspicion completely. Eventually, we got to the edge of the UC campus, turned onto one of the major roads, and began the trip back to Cincy's Jewel. After a few minutes of driving, I couldn't help but smile. You know, I said to Leah, I think the other two are going to be really happy you're a polyworm. Janine will be over the moon that she has another paranormal creature to observe, and Ada... Well, Ada seems to love adding any new member to the team, no matter what their abilities might be.
Team?
Leah asked, as her blue eyes stared into my soul.
You think I'm part of the team now?
If you want to be. I shrugged. We were already friends before, and we were already knee-deep into this investigation with the Muck Dweller specimen. I just figured that since we both have a bone to pick with Orglan, we could keep working together. If you want to, of course.
Carter.
Leah said with a large grin.
There's nothing I want more in the whole wide world.
This was fucking great. Not only did I have a beautiful, intelligent new friend I could trust, she was also a paranormal creature with a bunch of helpful abilities. Still, I couldn't get ahead of myself. Orglan would surely be mounting an offensive any day now, and I needed to be ready. All of us needed to be ready.